it makes you wonder whether when you see mediums, whether what you're really seeing are temporary or maybe even permanent alter identities who just claim that they are previously existing people. So what the big question is whether you're dealing with dissociative cases and latent abilities that come out in dramatic ways. You know, there are some cases of dissociative identity or multiple personality disorder where the personalities claim to be future individuals. So if you can see that in cases of multiple personality, it wouldn't be surprising to see cases where the personalities claim to be previous individuals. And so it becomes empirically very interesting to try to figure out whether we're dealing with a kind of psychic functioning and dissociation in some of these cases. That's why the case of Patience Worth is particularly interesting to me. For example.
Let's talk a little bit more about Patience Worth. Who is this?
This is a case from St. Louis in the early part of the 20th century.
My old neck of the woods, yeah.
Yeah, where a woman named Pearl Curran, with only an eighth grade education, some modest musical ability, threw a Ouija board, initially at least, and then automatic writing, produced thousands of poems, exquisite poems, and I think about six novels, several plays, and overall 29 volumes of work that are now in the Missouri Historical Society in St. Louis, showing a degree of literary proficiency and a knowledge about things that she had no normal way of acquiring because she was basically only modestly educated. I mean, but she demonstrated enough knowledge of England, for example, to write a Victorian novel that was so convincing to English readers that they had no idea that it was written by an American with an eighth grade education. And one of the reasons this case interests me is that there is no evidence at all that there was ever a person named Patience Worth. I mean, so as a survival case, there is virtually no identifiable or verifiable information. The kind of thing you're looking for where, say, a medium gives you some information about a secret will or a stash of money or something like that that you can later confirm, or like the case of Runke, where you can actually confirm details about the former life. There was no evidence that there was ever a person named Patience Worth. So it's very weak as a survival case. And when you start digging into it, this is one of those examples where I think when you really start looking carefully at the case, it begins to look more and more like there are plenty of reasons why Pearl Curran, the medium here, would have constructed this alter ego, Patience Worth, because it served her very well in life. It allowed her to vent various of her frustrations. It allowed her to express opinions on a variety of subjects, which as a middle-class St. Louis housewife, I think it would have been very socially and maritally risky for her to express, because Patience Worth, the character, the communicating entity, had very strong and, at the time, politically incorrect opinions to express about women's rights, about religious education, about education generally. She was very cynical about all these things.
Stephen, give me your thoughts on what you think all this is.
All this meaning the Patience Worth case?
No, just everything we've talked about tonight. Where's this all going? What's happening? And I'm sure in your career you've come up with your own thoughts about this.
Sure. Well, the good news as far as I'm concerned is, I mean, what I feel I learned, for example, just from my study of the evidence for survival, is an enhanced appreciation of just how interesting living human beings are. And I should say also for my study of multiple personality. And it's one of the reasons I'm interested in the topic of human abilities, which is what I'll be talking about at the Remote Viewing Association conference. I mean, the more I studied the evidence for life after death, the more impressed I became about just how phenomenally creative we can be. I see our normal waking lives often as a kind of very narrow, constricted existence. You know, sometimes when people are hypnotized or when they're in altered states or dissociative states, they exceed their normal behavior in a variety of ways. It could be more creative. It could be less constrained, just more box kind of behaving and creative thinking. And once those shackles are removed, who knows what we're really capable of? It could be that most of us are underachieving all the time. And once we begin to take that seriously, I think it becomes more difficult to make a compelling scientific case for life after death, but it also makes us appreciate one another that much more, I think.